Welcome to an audio reading of Pieces of Iowa's Past. This publication, issued by the Iowa State Capitol Tour Guides of the Legislative Services Agency weekly during the legislative session, features historical facts about Iowa, the Capitol, and the early workings of state government. Portions of each article may have items not practicable for oral interpretation. To see all accompanying photographs, select journal pages, portions of bills, newspaper articles, and other graphics, please view the hard copy versions at www.legis.iowa.gov and select the Resources and Civic Educations tab.
Pieces of Iowa's Past, this week, Examining the Eights, Establishing Public Schools in Iowa, February 6, 2019. Examining the Eights, Establishing Public Schools in Iowa. This year begins the 88th Iowa General Assembly. This fourth Pieces of Iowa's Past article will briefly examine the work of the 28th General Assembly. The 28th General Assembly convened for 89 days from January 8th through April 6, 1900. Lieutenant Governor James Millman presided over the Senate, and Daniel Bowen was Speaker of the House. Iowa's population had grown to 2,231,853, according to the 1900 census. Leslie Shaw was governor, serving two terms, from 1898 to 1902. It is surprising to learn that the population of Iowa had reached 2,231,853 by 1900, but fewer than 2,800 students would graduate from Iowa high schools that year. By comparison, according to the 2010 census, Iowa's population was 3,046,355, and the Department of Education reports there were 34,462 diplomas issued that year. Governor Shaw hoped to establish a school in each township and wanted to be sure Iowa was graduating boys as well as girls. He hoped to increase the number of normal schools or teachers' colleges. Governor Shaw looked to the private colleges as a source for training teachers. The following is from Governor Shaw's Condition of the State Address from the Senate Journal on January 9, 1900, examining Iowa's public schools and its one normal school. Condition of the State Address, January 9, 1900. The public school system of Iowa has had many encomiums pronounced upon it and needs none from me. To say that it was never better, or that no state in the Union has ever pursued a wiser policy, is not equivalent to saying that ours cannot be improved. To say that it has accomplished great things for the people of our state does not imply that it cannot be made more efficient. Within the memory of persons now living, women were denied a college education, and the first woman to be graduated from any co-educational institution of learning, if now living, is but little past the prime of life. A revolution has been wrought in these manners, and while no one would return to former conditions, yet a system which results in the graduation of 1,839 young ladies from the high schools of Iowa the current year, and only 954 young gentlemen, is weak at a vital point. These graduations are from town and city schools, for rural districts do not generally afford high school privileges. The town and city schools are superior to those in rural districts will be readily observed as soon as the policy pursued by each is compared. As soon as a girl arrives at the age of 17, she finds ready employment as the mistress of a country public school. If she proves to be proficient and possessed of aptness to teach, after a few terms in some summer school, or perhaps a year of normal training, and after having attended a few county institutes, she may secure a position at better wages in an intermediate grade in town, where her efforts are supplemented by the supervision of a principal or a city superintendent of schools, whose talents command from 1,200 to 3,000 per annum. Here she also has the advantage of regular teachers' meetings and association with advanced scholarship and skill. If she still improves, she may be promoted to the primary department at yet increased wages. For it is now recognized that the best talent is demanded in the primary teachers. Or if after an alternating in teaching and attending school, she obtains a collegiate education, she may secure a position in a city high school. But if she makes little or no improvement, she will continue in the rural districts, with no supervision other than a county superintendent, who, owing to his varied duties and extensive field, is necessarily unable to examine her work very often, if ever. Let this custom be continued, and boys will not remain in school, as in former generations, until past school age, and so long as a majority of the teachers in town and city schools are women and girls, so long will a majority of the graduates be of the same sex. Our girls should be educated, but that does not imply that our boys should not be. And a policy that retires the latter from school at 14 and 15 years of age needs amendment. In several counties of the state, the experiment has been tried in maintaining a central township graded school, to and from which the pupils are conveyed in carriages at public expense. Wherever this plan has been adopted, the results have been most satisfactory. The enrollment has been thereby invariably increased, and the attendance has been more regular. Better teachers have been employed, with correspondingly improved scholarship. And in addition, the expenses have been very considerably reduced. This is the experience also of other states where the practice has become quite general. I think this plan should be encouraged by specific legislation. I am not prepared to advise that, at present, it be made universal. It is probable that the erection of no more single-room sub-district schoolhouses should be permitted. Some encouraging legislation should, I think, be enacted looking toward the establishment of graded schools within easy access of every farm in Iowa. This can be accomplished gradually by replacing existing schoolhouses with central two or more room buildings, as fast as occasion to rebuild arises. The vocation of the farmer, which is so admirably adapted for rearing industrious and therefore self-supporting children, must not become offensive because of the want of school privileges. The generation now represented by the youth of Iowa corresponds in outward conditions to that from the Atlantic states, which controlled the affairs of this nation, politically, educationally, professionally, and commercially, a half century ago, and to the generation reared in the states bordering the Alleghenies, which is now in control. The children of the Mississippi Valley will be in command in turn, and they, like their predecessors, will be the sons of the first progressive, ambitious generation. They will have been bred, born, and reared amid industrious and hopeful surroundings. And in the future, as in the past, a goodly percentage will be from the rural districts. It should be the privilege of the General Assembly to make the best possible provision for the development of the intellectual resources of Iowa, which have never been equaled by any generation and are not likely soon to be excelled. In this and kindred matters, economy is not the symptom for statesmanship. With a central graded school in each township, and with a superintendent of these schools at such a salary as will command the best talent in the market, to be selected by a board in the same manner as city superintendents are chosen, and the employment of a corps of matured teachers, a fair proportion of whom should be men, would wonderfully augment the effectiveness of our educational system and ensure the retention of the schools of our boys as well as our girls. Normal schools. The foregoing observations naturally lead to the question of normal schools. Iowa possesses one such institution under state control and management. This has facilities to reasonably accommodate 600 pupils. During the last year, the attendance has averaged over 1,000. A better class of students never congregated. They are not sent to the state normal school in the fond hope that they may develop into something at some time, but they come voluntarily, and many of them at their own expense, with a settled purpose to make men and women of themselves, to take their places in the battle of life, and to bear their share of the world's burdens. The school is grossly overcrowded. I do not believe its capacity ought to be materially increased. There is a limit in number over which an instructor can exercise a personal influence. Until character is firmly established and the bent of attainment and desire well fixed, the best results have ever been accomplished by comparatively small institutions, even when the equipment has been below the standard. Afterward, the great university, with its thousands of students, has its place. From 700 to 800 pupils is, in my opinion, the maximum for any one normal school. I should be glad to see a state normal established on each of the great trunk railways of Iowa. I think it will be better to locate them thus than to follow geographical divisions, for the reason that distance is not so important a factor as accessibility. It is frequently more difficult to compass 30 miles north and south than to cross the state from east to west. There are quite a number of localities ready and anxious to make to the state donation of spacious grounds and suitable buildings already erected, adequate for a school, with an attendance of from 200 to 500. Other communities are willing to donate grounds and subscribe the needed money to build. I think it would be both wise and prudent for the General Assembly at this session to locate at least 4 normal schools. $40,000 or $50,000 in property can be secured as a donation with each school thus located. This would equal an appropriation of $200,000. It would cost less to put these schools in operation than to build the equivalent in additions to the existing plant, and be much more advantageous to the patrons than one gigantic institution, where student influences are quite liable to overbalance that of teachers and instructors. 5 normal schools will not be an oversupply for Iowa. Massachusetts has 10, New York 12, Pennsylvania 13, Wisconsin, with a less population than Iowa, already maintains 7. While Minnesota and Missouri each has 4, and Illinois is building her 5th. In the absence of some affirmative legislation looking to the speedy establishment of more normal schools under state control, I think some encouragement should be extended to private and denominational colleges that are now maintaining, or that may elect to maintain, a normal department, the equivalent in grade to that established by the state. What Iowa needs is educated teachers. This she ought to provide for by furnishing the requisite facilities for educating and training them. But so long as the state fails to do this, she ought to reward the enterprise and philanthropy that seek to meet the demand. I see no reason why the Board of Educational Examiners may not be safely empowered to prescribe a course of study and professional training, which, if adopted and carried out in private schools, shall entitle the graduates therefrom to the same official recognition and to the same class of diploma and certificate as are accorded those who complete the same course in the one school maintained by the state. Why compel the prospective teacher from lack of accommodations in state normals to attend a school maintained by private enterprise and then deny equal advantages for the equivalent in training and education? At present, the few teachers who are educated in our one normal school, as well as the graduates from the various colleges in the state who choose teaching as a profession, are eagerly sought and employed by state and city boards. My contention is that the rural districts require and are entitled to the services of as good teachers as towns and cities. If this demand shall be even partially met, increased facilities of some kind are imperative. In the late 1860s and early 1870s, legislators introduced a variety of bills in the General Assembly to establish normal schools in many Iowa cities and towns. Local boosterism and political infighting defeated all of these efforts. By 1876, Iowa, unlike most of its Midwest neighbors, still did not have a public normal school. Senator Edward G. Miller and Representative Herman C. Hemingway, both of Black Hawk County, saw a wonderful opportunity. They proposed to turn the soon-to-be-empty Cedar Falls Orphanage into a normal school. Written by Gerald L. Peterson, Special Collections Librarian and University Archivist, the University of Northern Iowa, January 1998. Marked up as a web document by Susan Basie, Special Collections Assistant, February 1998. Last updated, January 28, 2016, GP. Addendum added by Library Associate Dave Hoey, October 2017.